Sports Now presents Your Peak Performance, topics that support the well-being of your young athlete, presented by Peak Performance Physical Therapy in East Rochester.
And we are back on U Sports Now, and it is time for the Peak Performance Physical Therapy and Sports Training segment. And joining us is our good friend, Mike Naparella from Peak Performance. Hey, Mike, how's it going?
Greg, I'm doing well, but I have to tell you, I had an odd start to the show here today. On the way over, I stopped at the driving range, and I'm hitting some golf balls, and the head of my driver comes flying off and goes out into the field. This weekend, I had gone over to see Brian Jacobs, who's a new friend of mine, who's the Nike Golf Pro out at Mill Creek. He gave me some awesome lessons, I guess, because I was hitting the ball so well.
And you didn't hit anybody, did you?
No, I was the only one in the driving range, but the head on the driver flew 50 yards.
Wow.
So that was a pretty good shot, too.
Well, you got both of them, the golf ball and the head of the golf club. Well, hey, you know, you've got some exciting things going on over at Peak Performance, and we always try and update our listeners with anything new. So tell us what's going on.
Yeah, Greg, you know, Peak Performance has been growing over time here, and we're really excited to be adding a new staff member. This Monday, we've got a new physical therapist starting with us. Her name is Erin Borsick. She got her doctorate in physical therapy back in 2009, and she's had some excellent experience at the outpatient clinic at Strong and then at another local outpatient physical therapy orthopedic and sports clinic. And she's chosen to take her career to the next level here and come on and join our team. So we're really, really excited about having her. Actually, it's sort of ironic because Erin was the first front desk office person that we ever had at our clinic. She was between college and physical therapy school. And she worked for us for a year there, and we just thought a whole lot of her. She's got a great personality, an awesome spirit, very dedicated. So we're really excited to have her. But I guess I just don't want to mention Erin. We're really excited about our entire staff. We've got awesome physical therapists there. And Mike Alessano is our other full-time physical therapist. He's been out for a while. He actually went to St. Francis College in Pennsylvania. He played Division I soccer there. And so he has an awesome connection with the young athletes in the clinic. And, of course, my wife, Karen, is a part-time physical therapist there as well. She also is an athletic trainer, so she's got a ton of experience in the sports medicine world. And we're just really excited about the staff that we have. We're really proud of them.
Well, I certainly know and been there many times, but, you know, Mike was instrumental in coming out and working with some of our young athletes that I coach. And, you know, to see his excitement and passion for doing what he does. But I tell you also, you know, the things that you do and that Mike and Erin will do, and of course your wife, these things are things that I think all coaches really need to see, because it's the proper way to do things. And after you teach us, in some ways, we can carry on what you have taught us, at least the basics, to get them stretching and running and maneuvering the proper way for the functionality of their sport.
Absolutely. No, we don't want to hold on to this information at all ourselves. The world needs to know this stuff. I am truly, truly blessed that 20 plus years ago, I was put in a place where I met my friend Gary Gray and Dave Tiberio, and they taught us about function. And they're really the leaders in that field. And my PT career and my personal life and family life wouldn't be nearly where it is right now if I hadn't met those guys. And so it would be totally wrong for us to know all this cool information about biomechanics and these perspectives and hold that back and try and keep it in our four walls. It belongs out in the world. All physical therapists need to know this information. Coaches need to know this information. Parents should know this information. Athletes should know this information.
Well, you know, as I said, it was great having Mike come out from Peak Performance and do some work with the athletes. You know, we talk about training, and we always talk about training on this show in the perspective of, you know, training the athlete. But to be a physical therapist, you've got to have some training, too. What goes into that?
Well, I've got to tell you, we've been really, really picky about the physical therapist that we've selected to be on our staff. And you know, this business has my name on it, so it's really important to me. So you know, all physical therapists have to go through extensive training. Like I said, the times have changed since when I went to school, and Mike and Erin both have graduated in more recent years, and so they actually have doctorates in physical therapy, and that takes a lot of work. But we really want to go beyond just the basics, and we want people who are not just willing to work hard and get better, but we want quality people. And we want people who have caring hearts, who want to impact lives. And we try to look at this as it's not really just a job, it's who we are. We really want to make come true that line in the commercial that says we want to care for you like family and treat you like a pro. So, yeah, we're physical therapists. But really where I think the line changes for what we do at our place is that extra training that we've had. Now, Mike and I have both been through 10-month fellowship programs in what's called applied functional science. It's that deeper, extra troubleshooting, biomechanical problem-solving way that we understand the human body. Karen's gone through a certification program, and Erin actually has already started hers. Wow. So every single physical therapist in our clinic has a different level of expertise in problem-solving and understanding how to try and put the pieces of the puzzle together and try and take them apart and understand why you might have what you have, how to understand how did this get that way, and if you're having troubles and struggles, how do we creatively get you back on track where maybe others have failed or struggled?
Well, you know, as our guest Chris Reed, the varsity basketball coach at RH, said a little while ago, how important it was to have that passion for what you do, and certainly that bleeds through to what everybody does at Peak Performance. You know, Mike, this is a time of year where you've got there's athletes and coaches and parents and, you know, who may have had some surgery or some injuries, and they may feel like they're not improving quickly enough. I've heard so many times, well, the weather's getting colder, and, you know, my I've got aches in my bones and my joints and all that, and certainly if they had surgery. But, you know, can they come and see you at Peak Performance as the local expert to try and help them out, evaluate them, and see what needs to be done?
Absolutely. You know, the New York State laws have changed many years ago, where you didn't used to be able to see a physical therapist without getting a prescription. And now, for many years now, there's this law called direct access that lets people come directly to us and try and short-circuit some of the delays that might happen in their actual care. Now, if someone's got a fracture, if someone needs surgery, they need to go see a physician. Absolutely. But there's so many conditions that are strains and sprains and bumps and bruises that people don't know what to do with. They need guidance, but they don't necessarily want to go to an office, be told to wait 3 weeks, go on medication, then wait and go get an x-ray, find out the x-ray is negative, wait another week or two, and then after all that delay be told, what do you do? Oh, go see a physical therapist. So that law lets them cut to the chase, and then we have that expertise that when they get in the door, if we believe based on our evaluation that they really need a different level of care, then we're going to direct them on the right way. So people can call us directly, and most insurance companies do honor that direct access law, and they can come see us, and they'll have that paid for. Now, there are certainly other people who may be struggling with their care. Maybe they haven't been advised to see a therapist, and they're just not getting better. Or maybe they are going somewhere, and they just feel like they're not improving. And we've certainly seen some people in those cases as well, where a physician really needs to be involved. We wouldn't encourage anyone who's already seeing a physician to try and see us by direct access. We want to be part of that team that's helping somebody. So patients also have the alternative of saying, I think I need to try something different. Can I see Peak Performance for a consult at least to see if what's going on makes sense? I've seen be struggling. Can we take it to a different level? Can we maybe problem solve this differently? And I think that the patients who've come, along with the physicians who've sent them, really appreciate that sort of detailed problem-solving testing approach. I'll give you an example. Just yesterday, I was speaking with a young high school athlete who had been seen somewhere for her back. And unfortunately, the way the process went is she went in for her therapy. They did a 3-minute evaluation, sort of very cursory, and immediately moved her into a level 1 rehab program. And it didn't really do any troubleshooting. There was no analyzing. There's no troubleshooting. There's no digging deeper. There's no customization. It was just about getting her started on the program. And that's not really what physical therapy should be about. So we want people to understand that you shouldn't feel like you're being treated like a number. Not at my place, but not any place. You need to be treated in a customized way because every tendonitis, every sprain, every ACL, it has the name associated with it. But still, you might present differently than Bob does with the same injury. Mary might present differently than Susie does. And we need to honor that and find out what's unique about your injury and your life.
You know, Mike, you mentioned a moment ago about team and, you know, being part of the team with you know, whether it's physicians or trainers at the schools. You know, we've talked so many times about the coaches and the parents recognizing some of these injuries that happen. And can you give us coaches and parents, you know, a little bit more direction on testing an athlete?
Yeah, I think, you know, we started talking about that last week, Greg, and I think it's an excellent question. It's a tough one because it's a challenge to try and decide at what level you know, should someone be seeing a physician or an athletic trainer or a physical therapist? And at what level, you know, does a parent or a coach handle some of those things on their own? And I think the reality is, whether we all like it or not, every single person who's injured, every young athlete who's injured, though it would be ideal that they see their athletic trainer, though it would be ideal they come and see us at Peak Performance and have a professional look at them, sometimes that's just not going to be the case. Or as Chris alluded to, the injuries may be sort of minor enough or knick-knack things that we just want to make sure they're safe, but it doesn't necessarily, it's not necessarily elevated to the level of requiring formal care. So we're there for the people who need that, and they shouldn't wait long before getting seen so that their problem doesn't get bigger. But I'll give you an example of someone that we just had the other day. We'll call her Jody. I'm not going to use her real name, but she's a young high school soccer player, had banged up her knee with another player, had been out for a little while, really wasn't able to squat on that leg or lunge on it or run, and she's doing better. She wasn't able to see her trainer, and days had passed since she saw us. Somehow she got an approval to play, and so she played in the game, and I was really surprised. She was so happy to be back in the game. And her mom was happy for her, and she was excited about being able to play. And she didn't play a lot, and she didn't feel like she had a lot of pain. But based on the way she looked last time I saw her, I was really surprised. But no one had tested her, so this is getting back to the question you asked. So here's what I did with her. We warmed her up a little bit. I had her, you know, do some practice squats and some practice double leg jumps, and then here's what we did. You got to stand on one leg for me. You're going to put your hands on your hips so your arms can't cheat, and I want to see you jump as high as you can. Now, we have an electronic testing mat, so it gives us the exact measurements. We know how high you jumped. And there's two things we're going to look at, Greg. We're going to look at the quantity. How high did you get? Was it pretty good compared to the other leg? Was it bad? Now, I've got numbers. Any coach or parent could have watched her do that and would see, well, does that look really good? Is it pretty close or does it look bad? The other thing is the quality of it. So unfortunately, when Jody landed, you know, one leg jumps up in the air really powerfully. It lands. Her knee bends maybe about 45 degrees. She's sticking her butt out. Nice, soft, excellent landing. Very stable. The leg that she had just played on the day before landed like a tree. She wouldn't bend it an ounce. Now, if we look at that leg and say, I've got to be honest with them, that's a tough talk to have. Is that leg really, truly safe to go out there and play? My job as a professional is to make sure I don't put you at risk. And it's our job to kind of dig deeper and discover. But these aren't rocket science sort of tests. They're sort of basic tests. So here's the next test we did. Put your hands on your hips. And I actually had her face the mirror so that she could see how she looked. Because sometimes there's a gut check, a mirror check, an integrity and honesty check. As an athlete, you need to sort of look at yourself and understand, am I really ready or not? Have I been fooling myself? If you're ready, I want you back. And let's help you do it safe. But if you're not ready, I want to help you understand why. It's not that I don't like you. It's not that I'm upset with you. I'm not disappointed in you. I want you safe. When you go back, I want you to stay back. And I brought her parent over as well so that they could watch. You know, we have a little bit of evidence. And here's another test that a coach might do or could have done. Go ahead and hop on that one leg three times for me. So two things again. How far distance-wise did you get? Well, I'm going to tell you, this leg was probably 8 to 10 feet on three hops. The other leg was about 16 to 18 feet.
Wow.
Wow was right. And even she responded by sort of laughing when she saw herself in the mirror because she was so surprised, I think, at how stiff-legged that knee wouldn't bend more than 20 degrees. Now, the other knee is bending 45 degrees, showing awesome shock absorption. But the leg that was hurting her, that now it's so surprising, Greg, the day before she'd played a soccer game. But I'll tell you, here's the challenge. I think the testing question you bring up is a great one because you can have an athlete go, this girl was playing soccer the day before. Now, albeit it was for 5 minutes. But she was out in the field playing and no one raised the red flag. So somehow her body was able to fake it through without a great limp. But the body knows it can't, that single leg, it couldn't land.
Well, as you say, it's cheating yourself.
But nevertheless, how did she do that? Well, somehow her body cheated around that. And when she'd have to stop hard, she probably took 5 steps instead of 2 steps. You know, when she had to stop hard, she probably landed on the good leg and made sure it wasn't the bad leg and somehow was able to kind of fake herself out, fake her coaches out, fake the, you know, her parents out, the people in the stands, whoever. And so that's where when we get to this testing question, I think it's so critical that we can't just go back and have an athlete with a leg injury just run on it. Because you can fake it in that left to right reciprocating, alternating fashion that you might not pick it up. You stand on one leg. And we hold those arms down, so you can't use momentum, the truth's going to come out. An arm's a whole lot of different story. You know, what are you going to do with a pitcher? If you got one of your baseball kids who's injured his rotator cuff, you know, are you going to compare it to the left arm and have him pitch with his left arm? That's a much tougher thing. So I think in some of those sports, you've got to literally just have them warm up and start throwing. And, you know, are they wincing? What's their control look like? You know, if you're a swimmer, for example, you might put one hand on a board and just stroke with one arm and kind of see how powerful they can be. Upper bodies are a little bit more difficult. But you could do things like, let's say, stand next to a wall. Put your hand on the wall, do a few push-ups with that one arm. And let's compare it to the other arm. So we do a little bit of a strength test. But I would just caution coaches out there listening and parents, if there's any sense that this is a really serious injury, don't start getting cavalier and too independent, putting them through tests yourself. And that's where figuring out where that safety line is. You don't want to see someone who's got a real serious injury, who really needs to be seen by a trainer, really needs to come in and see a therapist or go see their doctor, tested too aggressively by a coach or a parent, all with very good intention, but really putting them at risk. Now, if someone's at the level of, hey, they're jogging around, they're running, they're bouncing around, they're participating some in the practice, but we need to know, are they, do they really have enough to get back at the intensity on the field in a competition? Not just in practice where we could lay low and play soft and maybe play at 50%, but really go at it aggressively. Well, then there are some tests like that that you could go at and sort of get a feel for.
Wow. And that's really all I can say is, wow, great information. And hear that, coaches. You can help your athletes even more than you think you can with some of the basics that Mike and his staff at Peak Performance can help you with. When we come back, we're going to have I'll have a couple of final thoughts on this past week in youth sports and maybe even professional sports. We'll be back right after this.
There's more to come on Youth Sports Now, Rochester's Youth Sports Radio Show on WYSL 92.1 FM at 1040 AM, online at WYSL1040.com.